It is March 3rd, 2025, 6:05 p.m., Traffic Safety Board.
I'm going to open up the meeting. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll go around the room and do welcome introductions. I'm Eric Heck from the New York City Department of Environmental Protection, and I have jurisdiction and concern around the New York City reservoirs of Ashokan Reservoir and Rondout Reservoir.
Hi, Donna Russo. Represents school bus drivers or school bus transportation supervisors for Ulster County.
Well, I'm Andy Safar with the Town of Ulster Police Department, and Chief, well, how are you?
Brian Slack, Principal Transportation Planner for Ulster County Transportation Council and Coordinator for the Board.
Jenny Attenti, City of Kingston.
Brendan Masterson, Commissioner, Ulster County DPW.
Dave Corrigan, Resident Engineer, New York State DOT for Ulster County.
Steve Rice, Trails.
Tom Polk, Town of Ulster.
Mark Cassidy, Town of Rosendale.
Rose Quinn, City of Kingston, representative for Families for Safe Streets and founder of Safe Pass Ulster.
Good Kleppner, Sovereignty Transportation Advisory Committee.
And we have guests.
Hi, Tanya Garment. Are we doing public comment now or just introducing ourselves?
Introductions.
Tanya Garment from the City of Kingston.
Kevin Smith, County Trails Advisory Committee, Woodstock Land Conservancy, and Town of Woodstock Complete Streets Committee.
Alexandra, Kingston Complete Streets Advisory Council.
Thank you. Brian has put aside some the draft minutes, or excuse me, just the draft minutes from last meeting for consideration. So I'll take a moment to review them, if that time's up to review them. We'll take a minute here, and then we'll put a nomination on up for accepting them. Is everybody time to review them? Does anybody need additional time? A motion to accept them?
I'll move.
Steve, you made the motion.
I'll second.
Carrie? All right, move along on the agenda here. Public comments. Tanya, I'll start with you.
Well, I just want to give a general comment that I think that when so many of our multimodal transportation projects and safety projects are going to be in question coming up, that the more that we can do on the local level and the more that the county can do to support that via help from the planning department in studies general policies that can be thought of that can really guide towards continuing to recover from the mid-century and the state of our county as a result of being highly focused on the automobile in all of our planning efforts from the mid-century that we're still not recovered from. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it okay if I stand?
Absolutely.
Please.
Be comfortable.
So I've already identified myself. I've spoken here a couple of times. I'm speaking to the draft resolution on the agenda, asking this Traffic Safety Board to go on the record endorsing connectivity on the county-owned right-of-way, the Ulster-Delaware right-of-way between Kingston and the Ashokan Rail Trail. It parallels maybe our third most trafficked highway, I think. It's a very dangerous highway. It's one that I know personally. I ride it on my bicycle, and I drive it in my car quite often. And I worry constantly for the people that I see riding their bicycles and walking on that highway. As Tanya just referenced, it's really challenging to promote and implement safe transportation. You all have been dealing with, especially over the last year or 2 years, a spate of fatalities, really tragic fatalities, many of them on state highways. I know it's hard for DOT. I know it's hard for the UCTC and the planning department. It's hard to make these changes, and it takes a long time. What I would like to say to you tonight is that the county, because of the ownership of the UND right-of-way, has a facility that's literally yards away from this very, very dangerous state highway that would be incredibly expensive and incredibly difficult to make safe for pedestrians and cyclists between Kingston and the Ashokan Rail Trail in the best of times. And we are clearly not entering the best of times in terms of transportation funding, transportation research, and I think, unfortunately, this includes non-motorized transportation and transportation for disadvantaged communities, transportation equity. These are going to become much more difficult now. But the county has the opportunity here that's under its sole control to create a safe passage paralleling this very dangerous roadway. And in so doing, saving lives and providing safe connections to a premier recreational destination in the process, and also promoting public health and creating opportunities for people to connect to nature. So you've probably given me more time than I should have taken, but I appreciate it. I think this is a very important issue, and it's something that, as I read your charter, this falls squarely within your wheelhouse. I know it's not something that you normally consider doing. I don't take lightly that this draft resolution has been put before you. But I ask you to really, really consider it, and I hope that you will adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to follow the light you have over here. No one has to turn around. Okay. Hi, I'm Ella Condrat. So I gave a statement to the Common Council and the mayor last month about Gary White. So I'm just going to give an edited version of that this evening, and I'm going to read it. So I feel like I have to say something about this. This is regarding Gary White. So he was a well-loved fixture of the Kingston community who was killed by a driver on December 27, 2024, as he was walking across the street in front of his residence. He was 77 years old and walked with a cane. In the aftermath of this tragedy, a number of things left me quite concerned regarding the accuracy as well as the fairness of how this case has been handled. We need to know what happened and why it happened and find out how to keep this from happening again. And before I go on, I just want to say I understand that being a police officer is a stressful, important job, but there's staffing issues. I have a cousin who's a police officer, and I appreciate the good work that you do. So I'm just going to go through my statement of some issues that I found. And please feel free to stop me, correct me if... Can you hear me? Everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me know I'm making any incorrect statements, and please interrupt me if I am. So, first of all, the crash that killed Gary White was not reported to news outlets until about a week later, and only after citizens reached out to city officials. The police report states that Gary was not in a crosswalk, but it also states he was crossing at the corner of Orchard across Broadway. And since then, we've seen that the lawyer of the family watched the video and says that he was in the crosswalk. So I know that it's possible his body was not in a crosswalk anymore,
when he was apprehended by EMS.
Just to
EMS.
Clarify,
yeah.
There's always a crosswalk at every intersection.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's
yeah.
not painted,
yeah.
it's yeah. still there.
So, yeah, so okay. it's a question of, I don't know if he was, it was not a painted crosswalk, but it was a legal crosswalk.
Okay.
But, you know, people, when they are hit by a large car, can be thrown forward, so he may not have been in the crosswalk anymore when he was found, which is really sad. And the reason I think that's important is that we want to be accurate, and also we don't want to imply that the victim was responsible for their own death, and especially if that's based on inaccurate information. And that is something that I think needs to be corrected, assuming that that is correct. And I would say, I would go so far as to say that the family should have an apology for that. So also, the police were quoted as saying it was raining at the time of the crash. Multiple weather websites reported no rain that day. So I'm not sure how relevant that was. This is secondhand information, so it's not fully verified, but the family the family was not contacted prior to his death, as far as I know. So I don't know what happened. I don't know how that happened, but he was, from what I've heard, they were contacted by the hospital, not by police. And he was, it was about 8 hours later that he died. He was not airlifted, and considering he died from his injuries, I have to wonder why he wasn't airlifted. There's also a witness who said she was never contacted for an interview. The driver was not ticketed, which is at the discretion of no impairment test. However, that's something that I think needs to be looked at for future incidents. I think that Rose Quinn has made a very good case for creating a post-crash care response team, which would analyze these very types of incidents. And I mean, I think it's about learning, because we all make mistakes, and I think we can learn from them. But we have to start with the facts. And I think the police report should be looked at again and see if there's anything inaccurate about it, and as well as the public statement that was made. And then I think, you know, assuming that my information is accurate, I do think that Gary's family deserves an apology. So, and I think we deserve to know what really happened. So, Gary White's life mattered, and I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I can just add, I actually, as a request of the family and the lawyer, did go and view the video, and everything that Ella is saying is absolutely true. He was wearing white pants. He was under a street light. He was crossing a street. There wasn't a drop of rain. And I think at the very least, we could at least have some accuracy in that reporting. It's really important. It's important so this never happens again. And also, to verify what you're saying, yes, indeed, it actually took 2 days before the family was notified. To 5 days before the daughter was notified, and they were notified by the coroner. So, and I'll leave it there.
But well, just for my information, when you say accuracy in reporting, from the media or from the police?
Both.
Thank you.
There was nothing in the media.
There was nothing in the media. In fact, when we, another really big issue that happened here is we actually really do pay attention every time we see a bicycle or a pedestrian, or we pay attention. It was reported as a motor vehicle crash, and that was it. So that was why, the people who would normally be paying attention didn't even notice it. So.
Okay. Any further comments from the public? Right, we'll move on to the next section of the agenda. It's going to be member updates. I'll start again and we'll run counterclockwise here. Route 28A, 1149, area between Huckleberry Lane and Seabolt Lane. We have an issue there. We're going to have to probably close the road. We're working on a plan right now for 28A East. We have a drainage issue with a resident there and extreme ponding on the road causing a hazard. We haven't worked out the MTP plan yet, but we're working on that, but there could be a potential detour of 28A to Spillway Road. Or if we can plate it and be able to allow traffic to come through, we're going to do that. But there's a lot of heavy commercial traffic that uses that intersection. So we're working on that plan just for awareness. As we get further along with it, I'll provide additional updates to the board. Outside of that, there's really not a whole lot going on the city roads right now. Everything seems like pretty good. Dealing with potholes and drainage issues.
Eric, can you give me the other road? It was Huckleberry Lane and what was
the T-Belt Lane? It's right in the middle there.
So this is near the Living Chapel, the Living Word Chapel.
It's going to be east of that. Huckleberry Turnpike is the, I think it's Huckleberry Lane or Road.
Oh, I see.
The private residence there, right there at the Stone Church, Living World Church. Yes. You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't have anything.
You don't want to mention about?
I can, but if you want me to do that now, I can.
School bus stuff?
It's on the agenda later.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
I don't have anything new from the town of Ulster to report.
Same thing with Sheriff's Office. Other than, like, there's a lot of potholes everywhere. All over the county. I don't think there's not a
pothole season.
Yeah.
Speed reducer.
Car wreckers, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a meme that said, you know, if you don't slow down, we're putting the potholes back.
Right.
updates from the Transportation Council. The long-range transportation plan is updated every 5 years, and we'll be conducting our typical update this year, this calendar year. It's due for completion September 30th of the year. And the kickoff should be initiated later this week. It will begin with a press release. It depends on how quickly I can get that press release approved, and accompanying survey to get the project started, and members will learn more about what a long-range transportation plan is. All of the Transportation Council's work needs to conform to the goals, policies that are outlined in our long-range transportation plan, and it is a very comprehensive inventory of our transportation system. This will be considered to be, we consider it to be an update. We're not doing a wholesale rewrite of the existing plan. We're just updating the data and generally maintaining the current outline. But the previous plan was completed in 2020, so we have a few more years of new census data and other key data sources as well that we'll be integrating. The survey is really intended to get the public thinking about how our federal transportation dollars are used and where they would like to see them spent. Honestly, it's also geared toward just getting people aware of the process as opposed to a scientific survey on transportation opinions. So please be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, I've been asked to provide comment to Senator Gillibrand's office on the reauthorization of the next Surface Transportation Act, which is due at the end of federal fiscal year 26. It remains to be seen what the priorities of the current administration are with regard to transportation specifically. We've all seen some indications that there are certain elements that the current administration won't pursue. Topics such as safety, resiliency, maintaining the current system in terms of maintenance, non-motorized transportation, transit. These are all topics that I emphasize that we would like to see in the reauthorization, and that I think Senator Gillibrand's office will be pursuing as well. So that was submitted on Friday on behalf of the chair, County Executive Jen Metzger. We didn't have a full host of attendees at the last meeting, but I think I announced then that we did submit for a Safe Streets for All planning grant that was not awarded. I just want to make sure people were aware of that. So we will be budgeting dollars of our own annual grant to do an update of our systemic crash analysis internally. We'll wait and see if the Safe Streets for All program, there's still additional money. There's two more years of funding approved in the current bipartisan infrastructure law. So we would hope that Congress, or rather the USDOT, would issue another call for another round. But that last round that we submitted our application for was very oversubscribed, 3-1. So we weren't awarded that. And then finally, staffing. I'm still short-staffed, but we have another round of interviews coming up, so I'm encouraged that we'll be able to fill our vacancy left by Dave Stoss, hopefully in the next couple months. Thanks.
Kingston, we started a traffic safety unit comprised of two officers, Oliver Menon and Brandon North. They are currently on the street, different hours, mostly day shift where the volume's the greatest, going out there both as awareness overall, but also enforcement. They are averaging between 20 and 30 car stops a day per shift, 8-hour shift. They're issuing summonses when necessary, and they're right now I believe that it's about a two-thirds, one-third, about two-thirds of the time they're issuing the traffic tickets. One-third with the warnings. Then again, discretion falls within the officers to decide what they're going to do at the time. They are tracking their, they provide details on where the stops are being made and my request to see where these intersections are. But we act a lot on complaints. So I received two more tonight about places where people are stopping at stop signs. We'll send them there in the morning, and then usually they're pretty good. We have written quite a few in the school zones. That's always an issue for us. Speeders, especially now with the reduction in speed limit, Kingston to 25, there's still those that feel that they can still do 35 in locations, and they're addressed appropriately. So, in addition, there's one outside the scope of traffic safety, one unit, one car, usually double car, is assigned the primary responsibility of traffic enforcement when there's shifts, whether it's 4:12 or midnights. They don't normally have as much time on their hands because their real responsibility falls with them answering calls. But when they're not answering calls, they are out doing enforcement. And we've seen a tremendous number of, a tremendous increase in the traffic stops over that as a primary concern now for the city of Kingston. So it's difficult. We do have staffing issues, as mentioned on your end, Brian. We have the same thing on ours. But we're making it work right now. So far, they're doing a good job.
Can I ask a question? Are they focused exclusively on enforcement of vehicles?
Currently, that is their primary enforcement. They do, if they see a violation, either pedestrian or cyclist, they will address it. But right now, their main focus are certain locations. Usually, they come in weekly. We have meetings. They're given locations throughout the city to focus on, but like tomorrow they'll be turned to a different location off of what was originally given to them because of the complaints we received. So yeah, they have their vehicles, or the traffic safety unit vehicles, being outfitted. It's an EV Blazer. It's still in our parking lot waiting on the equipment, but the it'll have front and rear facing radar. They probably do radar twice a week, radar for speed enforcement twice a week. They are very proactive, these officers, let me say that. So they are out there, and they are, they love the job that they're doing. They are anxious to get out there. So, But yeah, that's, you know, we have them scheduled for training. There's been a couple of incidents. We have our DRE at our headquarters. Mike DeFrance is a certified DRE. He's been utilized a few times, but we also have plans on sending, investing in these officers, starting off with A-Ride and then going on to DRE certification as well. At some point, we're signing them up. Once DCJS, Division of Criminal Justice Services, offers the classes, we'll be moving towards accident reconstruction or crash reconstruction, collision reconstruction. We have two people certified, the county, I don't see Paul in here, who oversees the county team. We'll roll them in as well. So use the total station reconstruction and so on. But they really do a great job out there. Very professional.
Can I ask a question? So what is going to be the triggering criteria to bring the crash team in? Because, like in the case of Gary White, he didn't perish there. He perished hours later. There should have really been an investigation triggered, but because no one knew that he died, apparently. So how are you going to keep track of that to make sure?
Yeah, as of right now, the triggering starts when there's immediate death at the scene. You know, without the fact is that if you get the chance to speak to the officers and review the body cam footage, he was coherent. He was speaking to EMTs and paramedics.
He was laid flat on the ground, Chief. I saw the video.
I'm not getting into a debate with you. I'm telling you that the officers spoke to him, got information, and paramedics reviewed it. It's not us. We didn't do the medical. Right? So at that point, ambulance showed up. They transported. There was no reason to believe he was, at no time was there an indication at the scene that it was more than what it was, what was done. So
we'll leave that alone.
One other question. Is it too early for you to have data regarding compliance with the 25 mile an hour speed limit? Do you not have enough data at this point, or do you have a sense of...
It's tough, right? Think about how many moving vehicles are in the city of Kingston in an 8-hour day. You've got two officers assigned just to that traffic safety unit. They wrote in a single day, just on one piece of roadway, East Chester Street, they wrote 8 speeding tickets just in that little highway, and that's that little piece in an 8-hour. So I would say, considering the number of traffic people are adhering to it, there is a little bit of leeway. Obviously, there's an estimation involved in this, but they usually write, you know, 8 or 9 above the speed limit is the actual ticket enforcement. But obviously, one of the first things they look into is the schools. And I can tell you that there have been a number of people who have completely disregarded the speed limit there. So, but I am going to prepare a report. We're tracking that. We're also tracking whether there's city residents are being stopped or non-city residents are being stopped. A lot of the community meetings indicated that the feelings of the people attending these meetings felt it was all outsiders. It's not locals, it's all outsiders. just statistically, you know, the people driving around is going to be more city residents.
Yeah.
So they're looking at the licenses and then at the addresses and then determining, they'll just scratch it down saying city resident or not.
I was just going to mention, Kevin, our traffic monitoring program, when we do counts for volumes throughout Ulster County, we do now include speed on all those counts, and I hope that another batch will be ready to go later this spring. And maybe we'll consider City of Kingston, an emphasis on Kingston. I'm not sure where our last batch of counts emphasized. It's a 3-year rotation, geographic rotation. So it might be time to take a focus on the City of Kingston, and that would generate data as well.
I don't want to take you guys out of your agenda, but have you thought about street light solutions as a...
I am pitched solutions every day by salesmen.
Yep.
Street light is among them. There are quite a few. I have access to Replica and the NPM RDS, the National Performance Management data system, I think it's called, which has the cell phone data as well. It's all kind of the same data source, and different tools are used to analyze it.
Brendan?
Nothing to report. Contrary to what the groundhog may have said, it does appear that our snow and ice season is hopefully winding down here a little bit. There was some concern with salt supplies for a while, but we are stable if winter does decide to rear its ugly head again. You know, state highways should be able to be addressed accordingly. Our direct liquid application on Route 28, which was we were applying salt brine directly to the road instead of granular salt, has proven to be, I'd say, more of a success than anything else. We have been able to, you know, reduce the salt application there and still maintain, for the most part, the same level of service. We had a real interesting cross-section of winter this year with the temperatures and everything else, more so than other years. It was a lot colder that we put it through our paces a little bit more. So it was a really good litmus test. You know, the claim statewide is that program is going to continue to expand. I did hear a little mention of potholes. I don't know what you're talking about. our efforts are focused heavily on potholes. Our guys are still on shift work right now, so they are out in the wee hours of the morning. You know, your officers, if they're out, they'll see us patch, and we're trying to get as much done as we can as the lower traffic volumes. But next week we will be shifting back to regular hours, so our crews will be mostly out during the daytime doing the best they can to, you know, fix the worst ones and kind of triage things until we can get some hot patch and, you know, start making the best repairs that we can do. We are geared up in springtime. We have an extra hot box we rented. We're renting some extra rollers. You know, we're going to put all our ducks in a row as soon as, you know, we have the availability of hot mix asphalt. We're going to try to work 10-hour days so while we're out there, you know, we can get a little more bang for our buck. And, you know, I anticipate as soon as the plants open in April, will probably be a solid, you know, 2 months of patching and, you know, triaging the worst ones as they come up, but, you know, still trying to create some order and work through the corridor fashion. But anybody that sees anything, you know, everybody knows where my email is. You can call our office in Kingston, call our office in Poughkeepsie. You know, typically when we get a call, we can't be everywhere, so we're out usually, you know, that same day within hours or within a day or so, you know, depending on the weather. Obviously, if we're out plowing, we can't be out patching. So,
as far as paving mm-hmm. and preservation paving is concerned, do you have any road segments that you know that might be receiving paving this year?
The only road segment that is currently scheduled is a small piece of Route 52 down in the town of Shango. It's going to spill over from an Orange County paving project that's going to come through Pine Bush and come about a mile into us. That's the only thing that we have. There is a small segment that you will see, but that is it's for friction pavement, for slippery pavement on Route 9W, Koenig Boulevard, the road that is going to be studied to potentially be necked down. It may appear that we're going to pave the whole road, but that's not the case. It's the two asphalt sections at either end, and we may do some treatment to the median, but that's a safety issue. That's a separate pot of money. But as of right now, I don't have anything else.
What is the 9W location again? The
9W Koenig Boulevard, between 32 and Port Ewan, going over the new bridge. So
okay.
There's two asphalt sections of pavement, one at the beginning, one at the end. The rest of it's concrete. The two asphalt sections have been deemed, they have friction loss, so they have to be repaired. So the project will be advertised for longer limits, but it's really two segments and some median work. You know, we're not investing in resurfacing that entire corridor mm-hmm. that is currently under study to be, you know, potentially reduced down. So there may be a perception issue that kind of arises as this project goes up, but that's not the case. It's a safety-related issue.
I'm not sure that study has been awarded or a contract has been signed.
Yeah.
Like many federal transportation aid projects, it's in limbo, right?
Absolutely. But I know there's a lot of awareness out there about it, and when, you know, you kind of see both things pop up on the same page, it may. I know it had me scratching my head, and I know what's going on. So, but yeah, nothing else. Not to say that we couldn't receive some last minute funding. We do have the ability through the quick quote process, you know, to do some last minute paving on roadways that, you know, don't have ADA improvements or anything else. You know, 28 corridors, 209 corridors, things like that. So, if money does come along, you know, we can definitely act on it. We have the ability.
Hey, did you guys finish the stubs on Route 28? I know you guys did up to the Hickory Pit. Did you guys do the
The upper section from the Hickory Pit to 375 is scheduled for 2026.
2026, gotcha.
Yeah. The lower section I do have submitted if we do get some, you know, some extra winter. They used to call it harsh winter paving money that would come through. That was on my priority list to get the roundabout done up to Kemptown.
Awesome.
The trail item I have may not be along here, but I have some traffic safety concerns about the train's operation through the plaza during the Polar Express. They use a road guard system that leapfrogs the train, relying on cutting through the plaza parking lot, cutting through the apartment parking lot, and then getting to the next intersection. The other gang, I don't know if they leapfrog down to the bus road down there, but I observed it more than once on more than one date, and it's, I'd like to know whose plan that is and if it's sanctioned by anybody in the county, because one person being tired and backing out from the gym is going to result in a real unhappy situation. You have people shopping, and that's a very dark plaza on that end where they're coming through. I was very surprised to see that the apartment house had opened up access to them to do that. But it's something that's going to be a problem, and I'd like to find a way to find out if there's a procedure, and if there isn't, that procedure be implemented.
We should find it out. I mean, if they're acting as traffic safety guards, basically, the railroad.
Yep. I couldn't believe it. One time I said, all right, they're short-staffed. Three times in one night, three different dates, same routine. And one of them even intimidated me in the car because I was observing too closely and I was harassing them too much. So
I'm not sure if their permit speaks to that specifically, but
I would doubt it. But it's something that's really, I was surprised. I just thought maybe they were short crew on one night, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
And they're using a vehicle to get ahead of the train,
yes,
and then jumping out,
yes,
and like, and they do have HSIP rail project to put gates in.
That signalization will cure that. No doubt.
At Washington.
Washington. But it you know, the bus road isn't so bad on the other side of the thruway, but you know, I think they stopped from my observations on the trail, they stopped flagging that one. They just inched the train into the intersection trying to be aware of. But if they have the cab in the wrong direction, or if they're pushing, I think there's the procedure needs to be looked at before we have an injury or worse.
I've seen them go right through that intersection on the trailways, Point of Praise Road, without any flagmen getting off the train, and they're rolling.
So, Brennan, you're going to look into this?
I can look into
what procedures they have in place?
Yeah, what they're required to do.
What they're required.
I know the DOT does have a rail liaison between the FRA and the DOT, and I know that Greg Hart was our point of contact, and I can't say specifically, it's Dan Coots now, I can't say specifically, but I do believe there is FRA and DOT oversight in their plan on how they work through those intersections. Well, a gentleman that used to work for the department did participate in the Casamount River.
Is that link still there, or it was there?
I don't think so. Who is the individual you're thinking of?
John Marino used to work for the Casco Mountain Railroad and work for us. So he volunteered, for the railroad at that particular time. But Greg Hart and Dan Coots were the DOT rail liaisons that would regularly work with Casco Mountain Railroad. And I do believe all their crossing plans had to meet a certain criteria. They're governed under the FRA,
right,
no differently. Right. So. What the plan actually is, as far as what they're doing, maybe two different things.
Sure.
But I don't know what spells on the permit, but I think there are federal regulations that have to be defined by. Just my dealings through the permit process with a couple different things.
Thank you.
So. We'll take a look.
Yep.
Nothing to report.
just want to mention that Steve and Tom, this is their last meeting official members of the board, so thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to serve and hear my rants and my concerns about traffic safety and trail crossings for traffic. It's an opportunity. You'll probably see me again as a citizen advocate as I see how well that works, where you can have a voice. And the reason I stepped down is I'd hope to see more police here. I think I didn't know Tom was stepping down. I thought there was enough old trail guys here. But there are other trail advocates that are going to be louder than I.
Well, until the county executive names your replacements, I think public officers law allows you to continue to serve on the board. And so I'll provide an update on reappointments later.
I'll be here as long as
you're needed. Great. Good to know.
Well, you'll be here forever then. You're forever needed, so let's put that elected membership in for you now.
I'm just not ready to have
it. So I'd be happy to help in whatever way. Great. Thank you. I'd also just like to take the opportunity to introduce everyone to Mark Cassidy. Mark came highly recommended by Ulster County Executive Metzger. He's a councilman for Town of Rosendale. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome to the board. Oh. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to meet you last week when we spoke, and I get to have a better idea of what the traffic council does and with the board, and so I'm coming up to speed quickly. And I am born and raised in Rosendale and then also in West Hurley. My parents moved up there, so I'm Ulster County resident for a long time. And in a moment of weakness, I got talked into being on the town board. No, I'm joking. I'm very enthusiastic about it at this stage in my life, and I'm happy to. I'm very passionate about traffic safety matters, in particular pedestrian and bicyclist safety. Being in Rosendale, for a town as small as it is, has a lot of people walking and biking around, and it's, you know, as we know, the recent tragedy of Victoria Cooper is one issue, but then also being a Main Street resident, I see a lot of violations of breaking the speeding code, driving driving erratically. I've spoken with Chief Shafrick. We have a very good relationship, and he's doing everything he can with his limited resources and power to enforce the traffic safety on Main Street and 213. But as I indicated in my letter about agenda items, which I think I'll wait until new business, or should I talk about
them? We have the Rosendale fatality is under item B, under new business. So if that is included.
It's all about that, yeah.
Okay, good. We can talk about that.
But thanks for welcoming me, and I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you.
So I have a couple of things. So tomorrow I'm going to be going to Albany with Families for Safe Streets. I'll pass this around and I'll leave extras if people want to have them. So we're going to be tomorrow talking about the speed limiter legislation, and that is a device that would be put into cars for people who are the most reckless offenders. So it would be done either by points or by racking up enough tickets on a camera. And what happens is similar to, you know, a drunk driving violation. You get a device put into your car. If you try to go, I think it's 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit, it will slow you down. So it's basically a governor. And I believe that you guys have them in your trucks, right? The governors, the limiters, and you said that
you know, were GPS governor.
Yeah.
Reporting, yes, on all city vehicles as part of Vision Zero.
Yeah, and you said that you're not finding that there's many issues with, like, doing what you have to do with them, or
as far as tracking them. I mean,
it's just as far as using them. Like,
It's pretty, it's straightforward to use.
Okay.
And it's a great dashboard they provide of information.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I think, and that, of course, this would not apply to, like, fleet vehicles, you know, unless at some point you wanted to, but this would apply to people who have had racked up the most offenses, because we know that they are actually the most dangerous people on the road. I also think, like, what parent wouldn't want this in their car for their kid who was learning to drive? Like, it kind of makes perfect sense to me. So that's what I'll be talking about in Albany tomorrow. I also wanted to mention that several of us with the New York State Bike Coalition are going to be meeting with Congressperson Ryan. Kevin's going to be on that team. We're going to be talking about bike legislation, obviously. So the two main pieces of legislation we're championing now are defined safe passing. So that's the 3 feet. Giving 3 feet of space if you're going to pass a cyclist. Also now included are pedestrians and people in mobility devices. So it's not just a cyclist law now. And then the other thing that we're going to be talking about is the stop yield, which I believe this board passed as a memorializing resolution. So we're going to be speaking directly to the congressman about that. Of course, we're going to be doing it via Zoom because everyone else is going to be in Washington, D.C. And I think that was about it for me right now. I'll leave all this information up there. This is also a list of the legislation that we are championing right now. If anyone wants to look at it again and go over it. So that's it for me.
Awesome. Thank you.
I've got something in new business, which I sent out to the board earlier. Otherwise, I don't have an update.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next agenda item, old business. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. School Bus Driver of the Year and Charlie Schaller Awards. Jonna, do you have any updates for the School Bus Driver of the Year? What's our process going forward, and what do you need from me?
Well, currently we have no applications yet. Our date is scheduled for Thursday, April 24th. That's the official Operation Safe Stop Day. So if you can make that reservation, and
I will do just that. Now, we didn't we update the application last year?
We updated it last year. This year they went with the same application, just changing the current dates.
Okay. So would you like me to forward that to we have a contact list of school boards?
Yes.
That needs to go out.
Bill Johnson did it already for Dutchess.
Okay.
Is that available on our DSB page?
I will make it available. What is the deadline? Do you know?
April 1st, I believe.
Okay,
or
that needs to go
after.
Out. Yep. The February meeting cancellation.
Our next meeting is April
7th.
Mm-hmm. So at that meeting, I will be bringing the applications that we have, and we'll be selecting a school bus driver of the year on the 7th.
Got it.
Okay. During the ceremony, we're going to have a moment of silence to recognize the school bus drivers of the year that have passed. And we also have a recognition from New Paltz High School senior and Pathways Ulster BOCE student Ethan Greger. He created an Eagle Scout project involving research and development of a presentation on school bus safety. The video is presently being processed by BOCES and will be put on the New Paltz Central School website. The Mid-Hudson School Transportation Association would like to recognize his accomplishments at our School Bus Driver of the Year event. It was suggested that the group invite him to the association meeting in March and for him to give his presentation. Also, there was a motion to recognize Ethan at the School Bus Driver of the Year presentation in April with a recognition of accomplishment certificate, which the chapter will provide, as well as a monetary check for his upcoming college expenses. And that's something different. We haven't done that to recognize a student. I feel it's important. If we recognize this student, maybe there'll be more next year. Okay, I'm going to pass this to Eric. because he may need this in order to make a presentation for this, for Ethan.
Sure. You could email me a digital copy of that, too, just for my background. Thank you.
Okay.
Regarding the Charlie Schaller Award, mm-hmm. So that application, is there anyone in particular you would like me to forward that notice and application for, to? I guess I'll send it out to our mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I'll leave it to board members themselves to forward to their own respective contacts. And the Charlie Schaller Award is typically awarded to, not necessarily limited to, a first responder. It's explained in the application. It's a first responder. It's someone who's committed to traffic safety overall, a civilian or a first responder or a police officer. Tom Polk was our awardee last year, I believe. So it would be great to see if we get applications.
And our deadline for that?
I would say the same time.
April 1st.
Or early April. What day of the week is April 1st? Anybody know?
It must be on Sunday, Monday. Because 7th is on a Monday.
So then it has to be a Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll make the deadline the 2nd then. Which is fine, I think. Okay. I have my marching orders. We'll get it done. For those of you who aren't aware, when we do have the ceremony on the 24th, it's very well attended by family members of the awardees. We hear some really great words from family members, awardees, and everyone there. It's a great ceremony. I would encourage everyone to attend if they have the time.
Brian, sorry to interrupt. On that note, are we going to have the color guard, and we're going to reserve?
I'll get all those things in motion.
I'll
be getting assistance from the county executive's office on this.
So we're going to plan to do it at 11 a.m.? And the location, please?
It would be the same location as where I'll attempt to reserve the rotunda. Unless there's a conflict, that's where we'll have it. If there happens to be a conflict, I'm open to other potential locations. It would probably be in this building, but let's hope that the space is available. It usually is.
And please, board members are welcome to attend.
Great. April 7th?
April
24th.
24th.
11
it's a
AM.
Thursday.
The rotunda of the, I believe it's called the Public Safety Building. It's the jail.
Okay.
It's a nice space on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any other items, questions, items for discussion? Great. Thank you. Ulster County bike and ped policy, this has been a standing item since the board requested information from the county executive's office. I'm going to propose that we remove this item at this time. The Transportation Council and me in my position as coordinator, I don't have the time to work on promulgating a bike ped policy. The county executive hasn't asked me to do that per se. I think that if board members would like to see an update to what is sometimes referred to as the complete streets policy that was passed in 2008 by Ulster County, I think that board members should pursue that and develop recommendations that the board can then review and consider through resolution or other mechanism, and we can update that policy. But right now, I instructed an intern over the summer to develop a basic white paper to do an inventory of the existing policy, which I have, and I'm happy to circulate to members. In fact, I'll do that.
Is that the one that you gave us?
Yeah. It's just a broad overview of Vision Zero and other elements, and she did score the existing policy through a matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to provide that information, but I'd really like the board to step up and take action if they feel that the policy needs to be updated. I want to hear from the board members how that policy should be updated. One other point, that one of the reasons why we got to this point is that I had honestly hoped that we would receive our Safe Streets for All planning grant, which would have a component to it that typically would require the awardee to do a policy review and provide policy recommendations. Since we haven't gotten a Safe Streets for All grant, since I don't know when the next Safe Street for All planning grant round will be, I just don't see that being an opportunity anytime soon for the UCTC. So I apologize if that caused delay at this point.
Brian, would you consider, or would you be open to consider, or the board of having a subcommittee that would take on this responsibility from our topic?
Sure, and I would assist the subcommittee. Mm-hmm. Be happy to do that.
Could there be other people on the subcommittee outside of the Traffic Safety Board?
I'm open to that. I don't see why not. I think there's a lot of people who can bring expertise and perspective.
I think the statute allows for that as well. Subcommittees can have non-board members as participants.
Nick Mercutio from Rosendale would be a great member of that.
Yep.
Iron Nick.
So, Brian, how do we put something we've set in for new business for next month? Is that...
I think, I guess we'll keep it as old business for now. I can, in terms of action items... Should we put out a call? I don't know. I don't have a large reach.
Should we make a motion to form a subcommittee
to pursue
this policy update?
Yeah.
We'd like to make a motion to do that.
A second.
Do we need a vote?
Yeah, we had a discussion. We just had it, maybe.
How many people do you have on the committee?
I think it's going to be...
going to limit it to a certain number, or...?
I wouldn't want to go more than eight, so it becomes problematic.
Okay. Is there somebody that would take the lead of this subcommittee?
I think the subcommittee could choose its lead once we form it. We have to choose the lead at this point in time.
Yeah, I think we could form the subcommittee and then we can figure out what the roles within the subcommittee are. You mean someone taking the lead on doing the outreach for it?
No, I'm talking about somebody that's going to take charge of the subcommittee itself. That
yeah, I'm sure we can work that out.
Yeah.
So I'll send an email after this meeting just to members. Reiterating the motion, the purpose, and if there's volunteers, and then if you have recommendations of other people outside the Traffic Safety Board, I'm open to hear them.
Perfect.
We'll include them.
Great.
Should we be voting to establish that subcommittee now, or
I'm not
by sure. Process?
Call vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against?
Do you mind if I just want to make you think that as you form this, maybe you all are from different municipalities, if you know of citizen advocate groups that would be interested in engaging, or boards and commissions, local ones like the Community Supervisory Council, that would be good to think about as you gather other people.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
I think the Trail Advisory Committee definitely want to have somebody representing.
I'll reach out to those groups as well.
Yeah, New Paltz Bike Ped Committee.
And I have contacts with the various other Complete Streets committees throughout the county.
Is there anything out now? We don't anymore?
There was, but I don't believe they're active. When Kristen Wilson was working for Cornell, she did get a committee initiated, but I don't know if it's been sustained.
Yeah, it'd be really great to try and find some people out there. They've got so much trail stuff going on out there, too. It's really fun. See if we can find someone.
Great. Thank you. Education outreach activities, I don't have any updates here. I'd like to do a purchase of vests again this year, but it's a little ways off for me right now.
Just to follow up on that, I'm actually getting a bunch of vests myself. O'Connor and Partners is giving me a bunch of vests. So we're going to be going out to the hotels, motels, and making sure that there are vests at the desks, so that when people come in, there's vests. And also, as families come in, we're going to try and make up a package. Every family gets a vest or two. And hopefully, I think they said that they were going to give us like several hundred. So,
oh, good.
And we have
so we,
too.
You know.
We're
to okay, good.
To yeah.
So
for all our night guys, we're just going to hand them out as we see.
That's terrific.
We're also going to get them out on the buses. That's going to be what part of our bus outreach, too. So when we're on the buses talking to people, like one of the things will be like, hey, one of us. You know.
I have these that are in English and Spanish
mm-hmm.
that say, out at night, the shiny stuff could save your life, which was an FHWA campaign. So I'm happy to offer them, and I'm happy to print more.
Great.
If you would like to use them, just
yeah,
let me
yeah.
know.
Yeah, we'll figure out how we're going to do it, put them in little bags or something. But yeah, that'd be great.
Wonderful. That's all I have under education outreach activities. I'm not really able to take on any more actions at this time, given my current workload. But I want us all to continue to think about if there's specific topics or areas of focus that we should be focusing on. And also, the county executive's office has offered staff time to assist with publicizing these messages that were, last year was Safe Start to Summer, Safe Start to School, and they did a smaller one for, we called it Safe Start to Snow, but it was the Back to Winter message. So we can repeat those. I mean, it's basic press release with some web content and messaging. If you have thoughts on how those could be improved or if there are new topics that I can mention to the executive staff, I'm happy to do that. So just keep that in the back of your minds, I think, especially as we go into spring, summer.
Yeah, bikes, motorcycles.
Right.
Oh, one more thing. We're also getting 50 sets of lights for bicycles, so good quality LED plug-in lights that we're going to kind of do a guerrilla outreach thing. We're just going to give bikes the lights to a few community members and like if you see anybody. So if anybody else thinks that they might, you know, be in a position to hand somebody a light, including police departments, I would be more than happy to give a couple of sets of lights.
Yeah, we'd be happy to help with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be too.
All right, great.
That's great.
Awesome.
I have one suggestion. It probably might be too late for this year, but the pothole discussion really prompted this. There have been really bad bike crashes in potholes in Ulster County, including one of the owners of Bike Depot. Bike Brothers. Sorry. And he had a traumatic brain injury, which has permanently changed his life. The roads, with the potholes, it's a real... It raises the level of risk for cyclists. There's the potholes themselves, and then there's navigating around the potholes with traffic, and then there's sand on the road until the trucks get out and really clean off all the corners. Every corner becomes a risk factor. So I don't know if that's something that you all would consider this year or in the future for something like that, but it might save somebody a bad injury or worse.
Thank you. Just moving on to reappointments and the updates. We did oaths of office tonight. You're going to have to follow up, find a notary at the Sheriff's Department and do your own, okay? So thank you, everyone, for taking care of that. We have four vacancies beginning April 1. Stephen and Tom have indicated that they would prefer to step down. Rose and Lou have indicated they would like to be reappointed. And so the county executive's office is working on them, and that's where we're at. We have a number of applicants right now, including we have a bench. Let me say, I don't know if I should name them because I don't know if they would want to be named at this point. But we have some good applicants that have submitted, so from around the county, and so those are being considered. Appointments are made by the county executive and approved by the legislature.
we've become very competitive.
Lou, do you have something you want to
add? I was approached by someone who's very well qualified as well, so the decision hasn't been made yet, and I put his name forward. I would love, he's a strong advocate for non-motorized.
Is that Neil?
Safety, yes.
Right, yep. He submitted an application.
Great. Excellent. I would strongly endorse him as a member of the board. I believe he would be productive and bring a lot to the table.
Ron, at this point, can we remove this, the reappointments from
the... Yep, sure. And then, just under old business, support for villages seeking reductions in speed limits. This was an item that was discussed by Rose and I. Did we confirm that there was information provided on, was it Families for Safe Streets?
Yes.
We had it in print that you circulated,
but I
couldn't find it online. But I haven't searched in the past, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. If there is a link, that's
you actually asked
for
me for that, so I will definitely get it.
And if you provide it to me, I apologize, because it's just juggling these days.
And they updated it like 3 times too, so I may
right.
Given you the middle one and not the final one, so that's very possible. So I'll get you the final.
And once I have that, I'll just publish it to the webpage under resources.
And we actually did get possibly, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but there might be a small grant that's going to NYBC and the New York State Safe Streets Coalition to expand that a little bit also, and we might be able to provide a little bit of technical support, not a lot, but mostly it would be education and outreach. So.
Great. That's all I have under old business.
New business.
All right. This one's me, too. A draft 2025 annual report is due at the end of March. I have copies of it here. I circulated it as well. I'll send them around the table if you don't have any copy. If there are any left over, please submit them to attendees. It's the standard format that I used last year. I apologize for the graphics, but they're not terribly dynamic because they're just screenshots from the GTSC mapper. It just begins with to take a step back, this report is to be delivered to the legislature, and I'll send it to Law Enforcement Committee first, and from there it will go to the full legislature. And all committees are required to submit a report on an annual basis. So the purpose and membership is laid out at the beginning. We talk about the web page and the materials that are available there, rules for governing, the meetings we've had, and our officers. I have included basic crash statistics that I pull off of ITSMR, the Institute for Traffic Safety Management and Research. I had hoped and indicated in the 2023 report that it appeared that our crash rates have plateaued. I shouldn't say rates. Our number of crashes have plateaued. It doesn't appear to be the case. If you look at preliminary 2024 data, while the total number of crashes may have declined slightly from 2020, if you look at bike-related crashes, they're up. Pedestrian-related crashes, they're up. Motorcycle crashes, very slight year-over-year decline. So our vulnerable road users continue to have unacceptable rates of crashes. So that's an important point to be made, and I think that's probably the biggest finding that we have in this annual report. I did include snapshots, as I indicated, of the crashes, all crashes in 2023 in Ulster County. It's a scattershot, you know, it doesn't really tell you much, which is something we, a point we've tried to make many times at the Transportation Council. You really need to control for the volume of traffic on our roadways to get a better sense of why and how and the type of crashes that are occurring. And then fatalities that occurred, these are all fatal crashes, are the yellow dots. And then activities, I also summarized the grants. Grants are down again. Previous year we brought in just over $200,000 in the GTSC grants. These are Governor's Traffic Safety Committee grants for police traffic services, child passenger safety. The reason why for that drop is because the college, which typically would fund a traffic education coordinator working out of SUNY Ulster, they're no longer pursuing that. They were unable to fill that position. I have not followed up with Christopher Marks, who's the director of that department, if they would like to pursue it again, but they were just unable to find staffing, which is unfortunate. I don't know if they are eliminating the program or if they're just taking a break from it.
I haven't talked to them in a very long time. I mean, I think Chris had really wanted to move into the direction of doing more stuff in the high school, and I'm not sure that completely panned out, and I wasn't sure where he was going to go after that.
Right, so that was in the grant. I mean, the grant was awarded.
I know.
They just didn't find the staff to hire the position.
Well, they had one, and then she left.
Yeah, Rhonda Barrington, which was she was just such a wonderful fit.
Could have been a great.
And unfortunately, she had difficulty finding housing in the area. So that's grants. I mean, that was a $100,000 grant. That explains the drop, I think, in large part. Talk about the safety messages, which are all summarized on Participate Ulster, vests, other education activities summarized in the 2024 School Bus Driver of the Year award. So this is the annual report. I would ask members to take some time to review it. If they have comments, I'll accept comments through, I was going to say 2 weeks is the 14th. No, I don't know if that's right. 2 weeks would be the 17th. Thank you. Provide me your comments by then. I'll incorporate them into the draft. If I don't, I'll let you know why. And otherwise, then we'll finalize it and I'll forward it to... we can actually review it at the next meeting, the final copy. So in case there are any revisions, I'm happy to do that. I don't think a few days is going to make a big difference with the legislature. Any questions?
No.
The previous year's report is on the website as well.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Yep. So that's all I have under the annual report. The next item, item B, Ulster County Executive's Office, recent traffic safety. There was a word that I meant to add into the agenda that I didn't. Initiatives, I don't know really what to call it. So I did receive, when we did our call, I received a couple of requests that we talk about the crash in Rosendale. That took Victoria Cooper's life. I don't have the date written down. And in that period of time, the county executive asked for our input from the planning department and the transportation council and submitted a letter to New York State DOT Region 8 requesting a safety study on Route 32 and 213 in that vicinity. And Region 8 immediately responded and said, we will conduct a safety study. And so that is a standard procedure that they will follow, and we'll await the findings of that. There's an ongoing safety study on Route 299 Main Street in New Paltz that we would expect results shortly. This will follow the same general procedure. It's important to note there's no crosswalk on Route 32. If residents want to cross that state highway, there are potential locations where one could be safely installed. I don't know the history behind some of the more recent, I mean, they're not recent anymore, maintenance projects in Rosendale, particularly when the bridge was reconstructed. And I don't know when the signal was last updated in the area. We did receive a request years ago to look at a crosswalk at the park and ride to the community center, and we received pretty detailed feedback from the department why one wouldn't be installed, and it didn't conform to, I believe the main response was that you couldn't install one at that location due to the speeds, posted speeds, based on guidance from the DOT Highway Design Manual. I think that was what Jim Rapoli told us.
Speed and grade.
Right. So we're welcome to discuss it further. And if there's any questions, I mean, that's action to date. It's going to be an open item for a while.
Great.
So.
Right, well, general time frame for a study like that?
I can't answer that.
And the scope of work of the study, will it be public, or can we look at the, because in Rosendale, it's not just that roundabout where Victoria has lost her life, but it's, you know, the speed limit on Main Street, it's the speed limit coming from Tilson all the way to the top of the hill past Fans. You know, I've got a bunch of items from the town board that, mm-hmm. If you don't mind, I can read them for the minutes.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I included it in my email, but
and I can I can. They're in the email,
yeah.
And I can include that email when I do my meeting summary.
That's fine.
If you want to run through a summary now.
Okay, I'll just say briefly. So we do greatly appreciate the fact that this study is going forward on the intersection between Route 32 and 213 in Rosendale. However, there are some particular issues regarding pedestrian safety that extend beyond the intersections of Routes 32 and 213 that are concerned to the town. As I mentioned, lowering the speed limit from Tilson through the Route 213 32 intersections at the top of the hill, lowering the speed limit on Main Street, we proposed 25 miles an hour, and improving visibility of crosswalk, installation of other traffic mitigation measures such as safety warning cones or whatever is the state of the art, potentially even putting in bike lanes there. When I was a young boy growing up on Main Street, I mean, the design of the street was much different. I mean, you had to really crawl through those Main Street because there was trees, there was cars parked on both sides of the road. Now, as you know, it's you know, at nighttime when after the police go home, it becomes a bit of a drag race down there. Cars just zoom by, and early in the morning as well. There's the danger of cross, as Brian mentions, the danger of crossing from 32 to the Bridge Plaza, it's called. You know, we risk our lives every time we try to go over there for dinner or whatnot. And there's a lack of visibility for drivers exiting and entering Lower James Street. It's kind of before the bridge as you're coming from the south. It's that road that hooks around and goes up by Tilson. That's people are complaining that they can't get out of there safely. And as I mentioned before, there's a lack of contiguous sidewalks from Main Street to the Fans Plaza on the north side of the street, which makes it very dangerous for pedestrians to safely reach the shopping plaza. Thank you.
A little bit of an inadequate lighting there, too. That
Absolutely.
Whole grass section right there, that is one of the worst intersections I've ever seen.
Thank you.
I don't like it. They just come off 32, they can come straight down into Main Street, and there's no stop sign.
That's right. That's
so they can come barreling around through here, but everyone else has to stop.
That's right. And the outer towners just don't know what they're doing.
And then when you go forward, that light, there's only a little bit of, come up with like three cars there.
That's right.
And the lighting there?
It was terrible.
I believe that's where she was struck, correct?
Yeah, just on the north side of that intersection, yeah.
Terrible.
So I don't know the geographic extent of DOT's study.
Mm-hmm.
I'll attempt to find out.
Okay.
What is it, the yellow book? Is the details, the process for doing a safety study?
One of those books.
Yeah. So there's a method that they follow. I'm sure they'll inventory traffic volumes, crash history, etc., and put forth some recommendations. The point of contact at this point is Supervisor Walsh.
Okay.
For DOT and Supervisor Walsh are communicating. I'm in on that too, as is the county executive.
I was kind of echoing her sentiments here tonight. That was great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
great.
That's
great.
Talking.
Thank you. I would hope there would be some sort of meeting with the DOT and the community.
That'd be great.
Prior to results being issued or discussed.
Okay.
It would be nice to have an opportunity to make sure that the town's concerns are adequately voiced beyond anything that was in the letter. So I'll see if I can get anything else out of Region 8.
Thank you.
We looked at David, who's a resident engineer from the DOT, but we should understand it's a big department, even at Region 8 out of Poughkeepsie. So we hope that Dave will be involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I advocate for the locals, but this isn't a wheelhouse of our traffic and safety group. A lot of things you speak of are probably outside of of that study. But all requests, that come through resolution from a municipality to the department do get looked at and a response gets issued. A lot of them, it's gone round and round over the years. I know there are some different methodologies that are coming up as far as how speed limits are determined at the federal level that are going to trickle down to us eventually, but our current policies are still in place.
Okay.
Some of these speed limit requests, it may not hurt to, continue, submitting them through resolution to the department.
Okay, that's the best way.
The one thing I can speak to is the lower St. James Street. As far as the maintenance level thing, I've gotten complaints about that before as far as site distance. Mm-hmm. We do periodically go back there and trim the shrubs and the hedges back.
Okay.
We can get the best site triangles possible. We are a little bit limited, as far as going back on private property.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have a defined way that the site distance is measured. It's 14.4 feet back from the white line or edge of travel lane. That's where it is actually measured. The stop bar is some guidance, but if we look at it from an engineering perspective, so what may appear to be inadequate site distance to some may technically still meet the engineering site distance requirement. So, but I made a note to take another look. Even though we don't have a lot of vegetation now, I don't know if we've done it in a couple of years. So we'll go back and we'll take a look. If we can do some trimming there to improve that, we will.
Thank you. That would be great. Yeah. And I did fail to mention the Tilson's next to Darling's, which is a restaurant there. There's been a number of accidents there as well. And
I should have a light, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
When you say a light, you mean just for illumination or traffic signal?
Traffic light. Coming out of Tilson Road right there, trying to make a left or a right.
It's bad.
Traffic volumes are very.
Well, they're coming off of 55. Yeah. I mean, they're like speeding.
Oh yeah, but it's traffic volumes on the side road that make it problem. They make it very challenging to meet the warrants for traffic.
You have to have a higher traffic volume to make that happen.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Interesting.
So one of the big problems you're going to have if you want to reduce to 25 is that you're all state roads.
Yeah.
So as of yet, there has not been a test of reducing the 25 on state roads. The DOT hasn't been honoring it yet, even though the law was passed in 2022. So we don't know. That's a big unknown. There was some indications at the last meeting I was at that they may actually be lightening up a little bit on the speed limit thing, as you indicated. That would be great. But for right now, it's pretty set. What I'm wondering about is that speed shift that goes from 40, 55, 40. Why does that need to be there?
I'm 32.
Yeah.
Going up.
Yeah.
Towards New Paltz.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is...
That makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, going on the hill. Yeah, I understand.
I communicated with Lee Zimmer about this in May of 2022.
You did?
Yeah. I was asking about a crossing from the bus stop to the rec center. And he felt that there was no reducing the speed limit without changing the character of the roadway will have a little effect on driver speeds. Putting one or two driver calming features on this section of roadway will probably not significantly change the character of the roadway to reduce the operating speeds. In order to reduce the speed, it will require significant reconstruction of the roadway, which is not planned for this section of the highway in the near future. Another way to help solve the problem is to work with the town on land use. The town could densify the area around the rec center, add sidewalks adjacent to the pavement section, and maybe even on-street parking. This would slow the operating speeds in this section of roadway, making the reduction in operating speeds more likely, which would facilitate the crosswalk. And constraints to the highway is a great way to reduce operating speeds. Or maybe the town could work with the bus company to move their facility closer to the center of the town.
How about bike lanes all the way through?
Bike lanes.
Yeah.
I just, two lanes going up the hill there.
Yeah, just kind of.
It's like the Indy.
Yeah, it really is.
And then when you get to the top and then you got both lanes coming in there, you know, I'll beat you, I'll get through there.
Right. Yeah.
Are you just doing it, cut you off up there to turn?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, I get it for slower cars, but that's just opening up.
Yeah.
I just
feels like a holdover from trying to make the throughput as fast as possible.
Yeah,
but it's created a safety situation.
Yeah. Robert Moses.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's not more bad accidents, even from there going all the way through up to fans the same way.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's road design. We recognize that, yeah. And we will, thanks for that. I didn't know about those recommendations.
Sorry, and zoning codes.
And zoning codes,
definitely.
Well, great. We can keep this under old business for a period of time.
Thank you.
So we'll stay up to date. I did shoehorn in this call for radar speed enforcement in rural areas. Mm-hmm. It's tangentially related, but it was included in the county executive state of the county address that she is interested in approaching the New York State Legislature to change the law that would allow rural municipalities to install radar devices that mm-hmm. would then issue automatic traffic tickets for speed enforcement. And she requested municipalities, if they're interested in joining this cause, to contact her representative, which was me. And I received a pretty strong response from municipalities throughout Ulster County. So the county executive's office will be taking mm-hmm. steps there. She did admit that it might be a long shot, but this would be similar... in the city of Kingston was allowed by the New York State Legislature to do a pilot program for speed traffic enforcement using cameras. So there is, I guess, a precedent.
In school zones on there.
Oh, so
in
school zones.
That's in the city.
I think it's
yeah.
in school zones.
That's right.
There's only three.
That's the only
does Rosendale right? Rec Center, do they hold any kind of
well,
classes?
No, not in New York City.
Yes, all the time.
Oh, okay.
So,
New York City school zones?
Without access to a school there, I mean, I wonder if that would
and
qualify.
That's
they have students there, they hold classes there. I wonder if that would qualify for that grant.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it will, but...
Well, we can discuss it with the town board and...
We
need a resolution to apply for one, right? Is that how it works?
To apply for what?
For one of these cameras.
At this point, the county executive is just gathering interest. The town of Rosendale is already on board, I can tell you. And then next steps will be pursued by the county executive's office.
I see, okay.
It would take a legislative fix.
Right.
Legislative fixes... take a long time.
Yeah.
I'm just warning.
Yeah,
they take
the
a long
state
time.
Level.
On the state
on
level.
The state level. Yeah. And that's the issue. That, you know, lots of places would like to have the cameras, but so far we only have the pilots in a few places outside of New York City and us on Suffolk. And so stay tuned.
Yeah,
very popular, though. I mean, the mayor, what was it? The Council of Mayors, that was one of their main priorities last year.
Works really well.
Yes. So.
In other states where it happens, in Maryland, where I've seen that, they really issue a warning the first time and the second time you get a ticket.
Ryan,
so.
Question on report stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the street design aspects, so there'd be the traffic safety assessment, but that's going to go on, like, what, in terms of the specific intersection, right? It'll be focused on that. And you're bringing up the traffic calming on
Main Street
that used to be before the trees were taken down and the
mm-hmm.
parking
yep.
was taken down. And you're mentioning the other road near it that has been cited as being problematic street design-wise. What about incremental improvements and working with DOT, like having the, is it called the council, the common council or board?
Town board, mm-hmm.
Writing a resolution asking for permission to put trees back along the thing and putting it in your general fund or including back in the parking on the other side, doing those sort of incremental, what you can do locally things.
Is there a question on the DOT side of things? Is it possible for a municipality to request a tree pit in what is currently a shoulder or a
sidewalk
within the roadway? If they're
Municipalities have a lot of ability, especially if they want to take the financial burden upon themselves. There's a permit process that municipalities can engage in to make improvements along, you know, the state highway system. Beautification, plantings are one of them. A lot of the pedestrian projects that you see go through have been done through, you know, local projects and grants when they get awarded and go through the permit process. So if the town would like to get a design together and you know, pay for the design and do the work on the state highway, it is absolutely something that could be considered as long as it meets our, you know, requirements, our specifications.
Okay. I'll follow up with you on that. Absolutely. Thank you.
There's also some tactical urbanism grants out there right now that I could forward to you, too.
Thank you.
Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you have to get DOT approval because they're state roads.
Right.
They're interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Moving on to Section C of that.
All right. Thank you. I went to this guy in an email with a sort of a primer on this situation. Kevin spoke to it earlier. Here are some heat maps that show the housing density, which is in the email as well. This is the density of bedrooms in the surrounding area. This is an area of two areas of significant residential density. It's a bikeable distance, but as discussed earlier, the Route 28 is really an unsafe environment for cyclists. There's an opportunity at this point in time for the county owns a corridor that runs parallel to it that could be utilized to provide a safe non-motorized route between these locations. I don't know if people had a chance to read the resolution. Why don't I read it aloud, and then we can discuss. Advancing the long-term goal of developing a safe, non-motorized transportation route between West Hurley, Shokan, Boiseville, Shandaken, and Kingston. Whereas the Vehicle and Traffic Law authorizes the Traffic Safety Board to study conditions on streets and highways, study and analyze reports of accidents and causes thereof, and recommend to the appropriate legislative bodies, departments, or commissions changes in rules, orders, and regulations and existing law the board may deem advisable. Whereas the Ulster County Charter indicates that the Traffic Safety Board shall advance traffic and transportation safety, including pedestrian and non-motorized transport, through study, advocacy, and public education in accord with the provisions of the state vehicle and traffic law. Whereas the Ulster County Charter C-120 further states that the board prioritizes safety concerns based on relative risk to people using major modes of transportation such as walking, cycling, and other non-motorized and motorized transport. And whereas the county owns a single-track railroad corridor known as the Ulster and Delaware Corridor that extends from Basin Road, that extends between Basin Road and the city of Kingston, running parallel to Route 28, which is currently being evaluated for its highest and best use by the Ulster County Legislature. And whereas there is a significant population center in the hamlet of West Hurley that could easily cycle to and from the city of Kingston if a safe, protected route of non-motorized transportation were to be established. And whereas the Ashokan Rail Trail is a destination within cycling distance of Kingston, which would be accessible to Kingston's estimated 17.4% of residents which do not own a motor vehicle. And whereas the 85th percentile vehicle speed on Route 28, midway between Basin Road and Kingston, is 56 miles per hour, and crashes involving a vehicle and pedestrian occurring at 58 miles per hour are associated with a 90% likelihood of death of a pedestrian or cyclist, according to the Foundation for Traffic Safety's 2011 report. Whereas the 2045 Long-Term Transportation Plan from UCTC identifies the section of UND corridor between the City of Kingston and the Ashokan Rail Trail for, quote, future development of multi-use trail. And whereas the town of Woodstock and the town of Hurley have both adopted complete streets policies and are jointly pursuing a safe non-motorized transportation route between the hamlet of West Hurley and the hamlet of Woodstock, which would further extend a safe non-motorized route
from the hamlet of Woodstock to the city of Kingston. Whereas developing a separate protected route for non-motorized transportation would significantly enhance safety while providing important community benefits, such as enabling active transportation connectivity between Kingston and West Hurley / Woodstock, and linkage to the Ashokan Rail Trail. And whereas every dollar invested in trails for physical activity provides $2.94 in direct medical benefit, Wang, 2005, persons who reported living near a trail were 49% more likely to meet recommended levels of exercise compared to those not living near a trail. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Ulster County Traffic Board hereby finds that there is a compelling and immediate need to develop a protected non-motorized transportation route in this corridor. And be it further resolved that the Ulster County Traffic Safety Board urgently recommends that Ulster County officials utilize the county-owned UND corridor to provide a protected, ASHTO-compliant, non-motorized transportation route between the City of Kingston and the Basin Road, connecting to the Ashokan Rail Trail and by extension to the hamlet of West Hurley, hamlet of Woodstock, and at the end of the rail trail, the hamlet of Boyceville. And be it further resolved that the Ulster County Traffic Safety Board urgently views the need for a protected non-motorized transportation route in this corridor to be the highest and best use of the UND corridor. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be transmitted to the county executive, county legislator, commissioner of planning, should read director of planning, and other officials and stakeholders as appropriate to effectuate this resolution. So, this is an urgent need from my perspective to provide a safe route connecting these locations, kind of all laid out here. Mm-hmm. I would like to put a motion for us to adopt this resolution and make this recommendation as a board. The legislature is... we'll be making a decision on this in the coming months, and from a safety perspective, it's really a no-brainer that a county-owned corridor running parallel to this extremely dangerous route that is inaccessible to cyclists and in a safe fashion be utilized to provide a safe route. I would like to make a motion that we adopt this resolution.
Shouldn't we begin with a motion for discussion, a resolution of this magnitude? I'd like to make that motion.
Second.
I'll begin just briefly. I think it's a very well worded resolution. I will have to abstain from this vote. I was on the RFP committee to review the lease. I'll likely be on the next one. And I need to stay neutral.
Lease for the railroad? Likewise, I'll be abstaining just because of the point. Point of clarification for the resolution, what the trail committee is looking at is between Basin Road and 20A, there's an existing policy going down to the city. I don't know if you want to include a whereas where that policy should be reconsidered moving forward.
Well, there's a policy for rail with trail.
I'm talking about the existing policy that goes from Kingston up to 28A.
Yes, which I
believe that policy would need to be reconsidered by the ledge.
I believe it's a policy for rail with trail. It's just the trail has never been constructed.
Okay.
So this resolution is recommending that there be a trail that exists the whole route.
For the part that has the existing policy in place, and then what the recommendations for the trail committee is for that last segment.
Yeah, that committee is... has a narrower scope than this resolution does, but I think as a board, our goal should be to advance a safe non-motorized connection between the point A and point B, and not be hemmed in by what the UND committee is currently evaluating.
Okay, I was a little confused, because it sounded like you were trying to talk about what the committee is currently doing versus a broader picture.
Yeah, it's more a timeliness of addressing the subject of this wrap up, this gap in the non-motorized network.
Yeah. But to your other point about urgency, I don't feel the same sense of urgency, and I would, like we have with other resolutions, prefer that the committee have an opportunity to think about it, mull it over, and review it, and take it up at the next Traffic Safety Board meeting, which would be April. I think that's the prudent course of action. But otherwise,
what's the downside, I guess?
I don't have any compelling reasons to be necessarily opposed to the way it's worded. I don't think the coordinator would sign. I think the chair would sign. That's just a quibble.
Sure.
On the format.
No problem, yeah.
I mean, if I could just add, you know, I think that there's been a lot of focus on the things that, you know, will increase tourism, including trail conversations. And I think what's been left out in a lot of these conversations is what it is that the people, particularly the most vulnerable people in Ulster, really need. And I can tell you, as a person who works out in Shokan and comes through that corridor, one, which is a constant bone of contention, I can't ride my bike to work, period. I could. I have an e-bike. I would love to do it. I wouldn't dare try and leave Kingston. I just wouldn't dare. And there's also the bus service is also extremely limited. So for those of us who are working to try to support this new industry, we are being put in this position of, like, you know, support this sustainable environmental industry, but bring your car, which kind of stinks. And the other thing that I'm going to say, which I think actually is urgent, is every day you are seeing people walking along 28 or riding their bikes in ways that you have never seen before. And that's why we're going to go out to the hotels, exactly, to give people vests and give people lights and talk to them about it. But the reality is the county is placing people out there, and then they have to come back.
There have been 2 pedestrian fatalities at the intersection of Route 28 and Forest Hill Drive in the last 8 years, both of which were, at least one of which was definitely a county placed individual. Both people, individuals who had no choice about how they were traveling, no other options.
Yeah, and I can tell you the people that I've spoken to are out there, you know, they're saying things like, oh, can't we get guardrails? And no, I mean, actually, this is the most logical way to do this. This is probably the quickest way to do this. It gets people off the road, which is the best possible thing to have happen. You don't want people, and it doesn't take them out of their way doing it. Right, because that's one of the big problems is, you know, you create these pathways and it takes people all the way out of the way. This is actually just as direct. And, you know, I understand that there is a lot of conversation about, you know, the bringing in tourism dollars. We made $1 billion in tourism last year.
The board is not charged with tourism.
I understand that. And that is
purely safety.
That's exactly my point.
Purely safety measure. Providing, sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, providing.
That's exactly my point.
Route is number one. It's the only thing. There's nothing else on the list.
Another question. So getting from, let's say, here to the trailhead, how could we get there safely?
Well, the UND corridor runs from Hannaford Plaza.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Runs from right in the heart of Uptown Kingston.
And how do you connect it on the trail end, if you will, from the West Hurley section?
There needs to be a crossing built across 28 to West Hurley.
I'm just looking at this. That's very concerning to me that we're talking about a resolution. We should put this in, but we're not going to tell you how to connect it. Well, or provide, because based on looking at your density map, it's concerning to me that there's no way to connect that section to the road. Is that something you're going to include?
I'm reminded of the phrase, a sidewalk to nowhere. When there's no sidewalks that exist at all, someone who's proposing a project and they're going in for site plan review, they're like, well, the zoning calls for pedestrian facilities. And they're like, but there's no sidewalks anywhere else. Well, you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this is this piece of infrastructure is currently in play. And I think the Traffic Safety Board has an obligation to advance our safety mission of advocating for it to be put to use to provide safe transportation. And those crossings in 28, those people need access to the Shokan Rail Trail right now, and they'll also need access to get down, you know, to travel down to Kingston. So And it's not just in Hurley, but it's in the other hamlets along the way.
No, I'm just, that's concerning to me, is just how that's to me, it's inclusive to this.
Yeah. That's not a county policy, though. That's a state road, and it's not currently being evaluated for what the policy should be moving forward, which there's an active committee working on what should be done with this particular piece of infrastructure.
Would it stay on just one side, going all the way up and all the way down? Or would it have to cross?
The trail?
Yeah.
Right now, it's on the west side, right, the whole way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any forethought across in 209, the controlled access highway? What investments going to need to be made there to get safely across?
Yes, there are engineering estimates for a pedestrian bridge. Again, this doesn't specify the engineering criteria other than to say ASHTO compliant. And then the particular design decisions about how it gets built out are not, as a traffic safety board, we're not engineers.
Mm-hmm.
We're making policy recommendations about how to improve safety. And this, from my perspective, is a clear safety improvement to establish a safe corridor here. This also does not specify what happens with the railroad. It just specifies that providing a safe non-motorized connection should be the highest priority.
This actually keeps the railroad from blocking the trip. And that's been a concern of mine for a long time. I think they're aggressively moving to a position of adverse possession north of Beesmer Road. Even though the county says you can't do adverse possession, where you have a title that's a jump ball because of the way the railroad right-of-way was written, you have that opportunity. So this does not preclude the train people from doing anything. It just says we still want to maintain that corridor as it's been maintained in every one of the resolutions from 2005 on, that this be a pedestrian corridor. But it was going to be shared rail with trail. Now, we can work out how that works out in other committees that are set up to deal with that. But I think this preserves the pedestrian right-of-way in the face of that discussion of what's the best use of the corridor.
Is Route 28A a designated bike trail now?
28A is not.
Route 28. I apologize. Route 28.
It's a bit of an anomaly. It's got an 8-foot shoulder, but it's
designated as.
Yeah, I think
it is a total death trap, though.
I'm not arguing that.
I don't think anyone would be forced to change $100 to bike up that road.
Question through the chair to Dave: what that actually means? How DOT actually represents a state bike road to the public?
Signage.
In terms of the definition, the description of it.
I don't have that. I don't make that.
From memory, they say that this is for experienced cyclists, and it does not necessarily mean that it's a safe place for people on bicycles to ride.
And I was just asking, I've seen the signs. That's why I'm asking.
It's a real paradox.
Yeah,
I think you're correct.
In many ways, these state bike routes, and I've been on many of them, including Empire State Trail sections, they're aspirational goals.
Yeah.
And the gap between just so designating them and the reality of how they function for cyclists is just massive.
And
I'm just Hurley Mountain Road to get you down to Sonbor, I think, to avoid the controlled access portion as far as the state designation and the aspiration.
Yep.
You are correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just on Brian's comment about looking this over, I mean, I think we're on safe ground when we talk about safety. But once we start talking about non-safety issues, and while advocates may have a very strong conviction about non-safety issues being important to the corridor, I think the board's position would be severely weakened. because then we would be seen not as a traffic safety board, but as an advocate for a particular policy. So I'd like to look at this a little more, but I think everyone should bear our particular focus in mind. And I mean, the definition of the highest and best use of the corridor, that would have to be fleshed out for me to be able to.
We can strike that language if you.
Well, I don't know. It's in there. It must mean something.
Well,
but
highest and best use is acknowledging that there is a question about what to do with this corridor.
And if we want to say we think it's the safest use of the corridor,
what?
If we want to say we think it's the safest use of the corridor, that would be something that we should discuss if that is, in fact, what we believe.
The best use language is for the UND corridor. It's not for here, in my opinion. That's kind of politicizing this away from the basic crucial safety issue.
Yeah, that's
okay. Let the jump on your words.
No. You said it much more clearly.
I mean, I'd like to continue discussions on this, but I really would feel better that if we digested this between now and the next meeting, and respectfully, if you want to wait till then to put it up for resolution for the revisions, I'll offer that.
Two votes there, potentially.
No, I don't think you will. Just clarification. I mean, it requires your replacements require the appointment and then the approval of the legislature. That will not happen by our April meeting. So the New York State public officers law allows you to continue, even though your appointment has run out,
okay,
to continue to serve until your replacement is made.
Great.
So.
Yeah, I would just say table the motion until the next meeting.
It's a lot to enchant, you know, have thrown on your plate as you walk in the door. Hey, decide right now.
And all fairness to Lou, he was going to bring this up at the last meeting. Okay. That was postponed.
Okay.
The timing is a little bit tight because the UND Corridor Committee is writing their resolution right now, the recommendation to the full legislature. They're writing whereas clauses last week. We might miss our opportunity to weigh in at a time when it could have some influence. So that's the risk of waiting.
It is on the agenda. So the committee members will know that the board is seriously considering this resolution. They can just refer to our agenda for this month and say this is actively being discussed. So.
Okay.
And the audio will be posted.
I have a question just for me. Other than the railroad, is there any other proposed uses that the county or anybody else knows of that we should be made aware of prior to digesting
really
all this?
It's just the railroad.
Projects that anybody else is aware of?
The railroad is proposing a tourism facility. They currently run 6 trains a weekend, I think. And the rest of the time, this corridor sits empty, and people walk and bike around 28. And they would like, they do, their biggest activity is this Christmas-oriented, what's it called?
Polar Express.
And they're hoping to they would like to increase their tourism operations, and they'd like to build a destination at the end of up by the Shelton Reservoir. And they have
they'd like to extend their area that they cover further up the corridor. The lease has been granted to them and is valid through 2029. 28. It's a 5-year lease, I believe, or no?
For the existing
limits. So they will continue to have the ability to serve through them. And then at that point, the process is to
issue new RFPs.
Issue new RFPs.
If that's where the policy lands.
Right. And the policy will determine the way forward there. Does that begin to answer your question?
Yeah, I want them not fully familiar other than the railroad, so I didn't know if the county already had other ideas, anything that was out there that we should consider we're considering this. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, totally.
We issued an RFP, we being the county, requesting proposals on how to use the corridor. We received one proposal. That was from Catskill Mountain Railroad, and that's the current lease. That was their proposal, that they wanted to run tourist trains
in the corridor.
Okay.
It strikes me that the existing railroad trail policy up to 28A is never going to come to fruition. It will be rail only because the cost of running a trail alongside it that was ASHTO compliant is phenomenal. It's well into the tens of millions. Would involve the need to acquire more property, right-of-way expansion, expanding narrow rock cuts, doing fill in protected wetlands. It's just not going to happen. So it's, at the end of the day, it's likely that, again, this doesn't say that rail can't happen. This just says that a safe non-motorized connection from a traffic safety board's perspective should be the highest priority. We can come back to it next month if that is the desire of the board. Obviously, I think time is of the essence, but if there's no second to bring this to a vote, this will be how it sits.
I would propose then that we table postpone the resolution until April for consideration. I'll need a second for that, too.
I'll second it.
All right.
So can you make those few revisions that we talked about? The wording?
Maybe we should discuss this a little bit more. What is the wording that...
We shouldn't turn this into a working meeting.
No.
Yeah.
We can take it back and make edits to it and then send them to Eric, I would suggest. Eric, come on to you.
I sent the resolution to everyone by email and a Google Doc. So I encourage people, it's open for comments. Mm-hmm. Please put a comment on it where you think it should be edited. And let's arrive at a language we feel comfortable with.
Do you want to propose a deadline for comments?
Yeah, how about 2 weeks from today?
This?
17th?
Can I ask something else?
Yeah, sounds good.
Just a quick.
Yeah.
Just say for example, we don't meet in April for some reason because sometimes that happens.
Then we
won't
have
weighed
in at a time when we could have changed things. Or had an influence, we'll never have weighed in on a 50 basis if we don't.
There's no reason why we can't reschedule a meeting. There's not. Meetings pass is because of items or because of the weather.
I would just propose, like, if for some reason our April, because this is an important vote, so if for some reason our April meeting gets canceled, we have to reschedule it in April. That's something that should happen.
Early April, at the earliest possible convenience.
Okay.
That would be great.
The committee is meeting on the third Thursday of every month.
Okay.
We'll meet third Thursday of March, third Thursday
24th.
Does this committee ever have special meetings? Could you have it before that March meeting? Could you have a special meeting?
Yeah. Today? Yeah, we could, if the chair decides. No problem with that.
If we could have a meeting in 2 weeks on this and pull our deadline back for comments to a week from now, throughout 2 weeks. 2 weeks is longer than we need to edit this document. That would be very much appreciated and would likely result in us putting forward an opinion to the board in a in time.
I do want to do that.
Can we make a motion to schedule a meeting 2 weeks from today?
This motion on the table.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's no guarantee you're going to have participation and availability. That's the trouble.
Quorum. Yes. I mean, that goes for every single meeting, though.
People are pretty accustomed to the first Monday of the month. I mean, we have full... I've never seen full participation, which is congratulations to everyone for getting here. I appreciate it immensely.
You got my word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is important.
Yeah.
I get it. We'll make the meeting happen April 7th.
April 7th? Which is the regular scheduled meeting.
But what about a special meeting before? for the next...
people probably aren't going to... Yeah, we just...
I don't know if that's official.
You can't vote.
Through New York State Open Meetings Law.
Unless you publish for your meeting.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today would be March 17th, also St. Patrick's Day. There will be also my youngest child's birthday.
I'll be in Hawaii. I'm not going to be here on the 17th.
The 17th.
That would be the 17th, yeah.
Let's just, to the board, we're going to have the meeting on the 7th.
Okay.
And comments, by
17th. We want the comments by 17th, if not before.
If not before, okay.
Yep.
And Louis, you can circulate the revised document, but we can have a meeting.
Yeah.
Instead of...
Yep. Yeah, I'll keep that Google Doc current. You can add comments in there.
And that was no fault to Lou's, just for clarification, he did request late last week that it be added to the agenda. And I just thought with a meeting we had in progress that we wouldn't have time to add it to the meeting. We had a discussion further, we did add it to the meeting. So, yeah. I mean, this was, I mean, could have gotten a couple days sooner, I guess. But
yes, yeah.
That's on me.
That's fine.
And I should have sent it out right after the last meeting was canceled rather than sitting on it until the call for agenda items for this meeting.
Okay. So. Cool. Get through it.
Can you send a memo to the O&W Corridor Advisory Committee telling them that they're working on something?
Oh, that's good idea.
I can send that as a quick email from me to members of the legislature. FYI.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
I'm happy to do that. Moving on the agenda, is there any other business?
Did we vote on the table motion?
Is there an open motion on the table?
Yeah, there is an open motion.
I thought there was.
I apologize.
Which is to postpone?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Call it.
So call for a vote.
All for a vote? Yes.
To postpone?
Postpone?
Oh, yes.
Postpone, yes.
Yeah. Aye.
Aye.
Nays?
None.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Parliamentary.
Tom T.
Losing track of
Tom.
Procedure.
You're needed.
There is. I'm not hearing any other business. There's a typo in the agenda. The next April meeting 7th. Is April 7th.
Will be. Any last alibis?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Hi,
everybody.
Thank you.
Those are hours.
8:06.